Care Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Margaret Lynch, who is the author of Tapping into Wealth, How Emotional Freedom Techniques Can Help You Clear the Path to Making More Money. We have interviewed other authors involving the emotional freedom techniques, especially with health, and I found it interesting that Margaret has put together a book on using the same technique to clear negative emotions around financial health. It's pretty well known that if you don't have financial health, especially if you're incredibly poor with financial health, your physical health probably is not doing too well either. Maintenance of health these days requires some money in order to take supplements and visit the practitioners that you need to visit in order to maintain your health, especially later in life. So this does relate to health in some ways, and we're glad that Margaret joined us today to tell us about tapping into wealth. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So would you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and how you got introduced to emotional freedom techniques and how you ended up applying it to financial health?
Sure, absolutely. You know, and it really, you know, what you said is so true. There's such a crossover between money and chronic worry and fear and stress, and I'm very passionate about health, and this is a cornerstone of health. You know, it really is. And you know, but I started out as an engineer. I was a chemical engineer in corporate America for 18 years doing, you know, engineering and management and sales. And I, you know, sort of came a long way into this sort of alternative world of coaching and using, a very out-of-the-box technique like emotional freedom technique or tapping. But it really came through being inspired. I saw Wayne Dyer on public TV, and my jaw was hanging open for like 2 weeks, and I was thinking, I don't even know what my intention is. I don't even know what he means by intention. And I really sat with it for a long time, and I set an intention to find my intention. What else could I do? Talk about limitation. You know, in my mind, as a chemical engineer, there was like three places I could work in New England, right? And so you go from that space to sort of an openness of notice what starts appearing in your life and be open to it. And I started to discover the law of attraction and hypnotherapy, mm-hmm. And then I very quickly discovered tapping or emotional freedom technique, because using positive thinking, whether it's around your health or around some change you want in your life, is actually kind of difficult because mm-hmm. of the blocks that we have, our limiting beliefs, our programming, and even our past traumas that speak very loudly to us, whether it's around a health issue or a life issue or a relationship issue. And the emotional freedom technique is just a really fast tool you can apply to make a big shift. So I moved in this direction. I left corporate, you know, stepped out on my own, and started working with tons and tons of people using this technique to really get out of their own way in their life. And they were mostly self-employed and small business owners, as mm-hmm. I had just become. And what I found with working with them was the number one sort of dark secret that they had was a lot of, you know, as heart-centered and amazing as these people were, you know, you think of every single business that's in any city or town, any small business, they ran the gamut from realtors to attorneys to accountants to web designers. Most of them came from the middle class, and they all had chronic worry, fear, stress, and scarcity in their earning and in their savings and in their debt. And I did too, because I was newly self-employed and I was having the issues of charging my worth without having a major emotional response to that. And, you know, as an engineer, that became a puzzle that I wanted to solve. And so I didn't plan to become an expert in money with you know, clearing techniques, but I delved in because it was such a big issue, particularly for you. If your parents were middle class or working class, there is just so much programmed into our system, into our beliefs, literally into our nervous system. And I just became very passionate about talking about the mind-body-money connection, so much so that I wrote a book, which I'm telling you, I'm not a writer. I do not enjoy writing. But mm-hmm. I felt it was so important, you know, to really start changing the conversation, because there is a mind-body-money connection, 100% mm-hmm. a mind-body-money connection. And if we don't look at it, we're not really looking at what actually stops people in the middle class from living paycheck to paycheck. You know, and I mean, it took a lot of work for me to shift out of that model, because I was living it just like my clients were. And so that was motivating. And it's also, you know, my passion. I talk about it all day long.
Okay. Well, emotional freedom technique works primarily by tapping on the acupoint meridian points mm-hmm. while releasing certain negative emotions and, I guess, replacing them with more positive emotions. So you want to talk a little bit about how that system works, because it's not real clear. If you just saw somebody doing it, you might not understand anything about what's going on.
Yeah, and what they do know that's been clinically proven is that when you tap on acupuncture points, so the same points that an acupuncturist would put a needle, when you tap on those points, it interacts literally like a circuit breaker with the fight or flight response in the body, also called the stress response, right? And most people are familiar with the fight or flight. We've all experienced fear, anxiety coming up. Some people have fear of public speaking. Some people have fear of tax day coming up. Or thinking about a confrontation with a boss or someone, we start to feel that fight or flight response. And so to have a technique that you could simply, even without words, start tapping on an acupuncture point or two, you know, we use several of them just because they're easy to reach, start to feel that fight or flight response dysregulate and come down. And so when we take that technique now, and we work with someone with post-traumatic stress, war trauma, severe phobias, where they're reliving the past, the memories are strong, and then they go into full-blown fight-or-flight response, right? Whether it's you have a fear of spiders or a fear of public speaking, or you have war trauma or any kind of trauma, now you start allowing someone to, when they tune into it, tap at the same time, which sends a whole new message to the nervous system and breaks that cycle, right? So extremely powerful, used in the psychology field. It's actually called energy psychology in that field, with massive trauma, right, where there's no other technique of talk therapy that really helps with trauma. So now you have people like Jack Canfield and the whole personal development movement, Cheryl Richardson, all these people who are all about positive thinking and self-actualization. And you have them using this technique and finding it, because if I can shift a soldier out of the 40 years of flashbacks and war trauma that he's experienced, I can shift your average businesswoman out of her fear, shame, and embarrassment of charging her worth. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And maybe the lifetime of words that she hears of you'll never amount to anything. You know, you're a woman, you shouldn't get bigger than your britches, right? And so mm-hmm. it's almost like the things that hold you back from dealing with your money, from creating a savings account, from dealing with your debt, have a nervous system component and actually have some traumatic components to it, that when we shift that with the same tool, that because it turns off the fight or flight, you become a totally different, more resourceful person. And so it's funny to take a technique and apply it to so many different areas, but if you look at the common denominator, Dr. Susan, there's the fight or flight response activating in all of the different scenarios, right? And as you know, they say one of the biggest causes of illness is there's a stress component. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can use this technique. If anything that triggers the fight or flight response, you can use this technique beautifully. Does that make sense?
I know it does.
It's sweeping, right? But it's
right.
So my thing is to, I'm an engineer, so I apply it very specifically in the lane of money. And so if money's one of the areas that you are feeling chronic pain in your life, then my advice is always to go after it. Specifically, just like you'd go after specifically back pain or knee pain mm-hmm. or, you know, an adrenal issue, right?
Right. Well, you mentioned before some of the programming, which might come from prior lives, might come from childhood, observing our parents' reaction to money, or even religious. There's a religious component of, you know, money is the root of all evil. And it's really the love of money is the root of all evil, not that money is the root of all evil, but that got kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we begin to think of money not as an energy, which is really like we should think of money as a form of, you know, solid energy.
Yeah.
We think of it in all sorts of different ways, and these limiting beliefs. And I like the one that you put in here about, if you're a woman and you have a lot of money, then you'll intimidate men, you know, that so you'll be alone, that kind of thing. You see?
Yeah.
That's a very interesting one. And it another interesting one that is very important is, if I make a lot of money, somebody might marry me for my money and then knock me off, you see?
Yeah.
Now, that could come from a past life, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and remember that you said money's an energy, so having a lot of money is also metaphorical for me totally standing, you know, in the lightest sense, standing in my power and being seen and valued for who I am. And because when you do that, more money shows up. You allow more money into your life. And so what have you been taught in childhood about standing up and saying, I deserve, and I actually deserve a lot because I'm pretty good at what I do. And so this is where we start to see those programming. You know, if you were to imagine yourself taking your income that you're at right now and adding 50% to it and saying the words, I deserve that, a lot of people will start to hear a dialogue in their head. You know, they'll start to hear the words, who do I think I am? Right? What do I think? I'm better than other people? Or that's impossible. And so it's so easy, and that's what I walk people through exercise by exercise in the book. It's actually so easy to find your exact level of programming, and when we find it, we can clear it, right?
Yeah.
Which is exciting to me. I don't like to just talk about things. I want to transform people chapter by chapter. And you know, that's one of the reasons I made 17 videos to go with every chapter, so that the people who have the book actually have even more. They have me on video to guide them through things as well, because I wanted, if someone steps into this book, it's really a transformation chapter by chapter.
Right.
I can't just write a book. It has to be a transformation.
Well, no, I think with tapping, it's good to have the video, because, you know, where the points are and how you do it, and, you know, exactly the exact methods and examples of the type of thought forms that need to be released are important.
Because they spin around inside of us like a broken record. I call it habitual thoughts. And so, you know, for instance, if I were to ask everyone to, if they're not driving, to, you know, to write down their debt, for example, right? A lot of us in the middle class have debt, and we don't really have a huge savings. What I find, this is one of what I call the five kinds of money, is that the debt will trigger both a nervous system reaction. Most people start to feel anxiety, fear, or even sadness, a sense of loss. It will trigger sometimes a memory of a past event, like maybe there was a business betrayal or a mistake made that really contributed to the debt, and that triggers a fight or flight response.
Right.
And then thirdly, it's these habitual ways of thinking that pop into your head. And for debt, you know, and I've done this with thousands of people, for debt, most of the things that pop into people's heads sound like this. This means I'm failing. You know, there it is in black and white. Whatever I do, it's never enough. And so, you know, these are pretty dark habitual thoughts, and money triggers the darkest of the dark. So, you know, to carry that around, you know, I say to people, do you understand now why, as brilliant as you are, you could be a CPA or financial advisor, you've never really spent the time and energy focused on clearing your debt, because it triggers such a big wall inside of you of stress response, of emotional response, of negative habitual thinking. But when we shift that, it's miracles are possible. Miracles are possible. And that's what gets me excited.
So you talked about the five different kinds of money. You want to go through those?
Sure, yeah, and on the, you know, the book, the name of the book, Tapping Into Wealth website, actually there's a whole video, so if I go really fast and people want more, you can get that video on tappingintowealth.com. It's a full video on the five kinds of money. But I really noticed that money isn't money. There's different kinds of money, and each of them triggers a different set of responses in people. And there's actually a lot of commonality. And so the first one is debt, right? It's and it triggers a pretty negative response in most people. They start to look at debt, and really the number one emotion that comes up is shame. So, you know, when we talk about shame, we're talking about the darkest of the dark. You know, people will say, I'm embarrassed. If I have people in a room and I say, write it down, they're hiding. I mean, it's terrifyingly shameful to have debt, particularly when somebody is well-versed in the financial world and they are advising clients all day long, but they can't do that in their own finances because of this. So the second kind is savings. So if I asked everyone to write down their savings account, the most common emotion that comes up, besides sort of anxiety of, oh, my God, is this sort of a sense of feeling, never feeling safe. Like, I've never felt safe and solid and secure, and there's often a sadness with that. So sometimes when people look at their savings, again, there may be a past trauma connected, and it usually involves one of great loss, sometimes a death of a parent that changed the financial picture, or some loss that that still is filled with grief. And I've just found that with thousands of people from all over the world can similarly have that same feeling, and somehow when they think about their savings account, there's a sadness, a grief in the stress response. And that's why they never put attention and energy and focus on saying, hey, I want to create a savings account. Let's put some time there. The third kind is income, which is very closely related to income goals, which is the fourth kind. And so income, interestingly, and you can just stop me if you need to, because I'll keep going.
That's okay.
And I know people, they're like, I'm writing it down. Don't miss one. Income, if I asked everyone to write down their income, and look at it, it's like you start to, people start to get triggered. The most common phrase that pops into people's head is, it's not enough. It's never been enough. And there's anxiety with that, but there's also a sense of sort of like resignation. Like this is how it is for people like us, for people like me, in our family, you know, that this is a glass ceiling. And that really comes from your family paradigm, where you learn how valuable and how, you know, how big you're allowed to be, how free, how much fun, how much reward you're allowed to have in people like you in your family, right? Sometimes people have traumas when they look at their income around a parent who, you know, who lost a job or made a lot of money and then lost it all. Had a style of life and then it lost it all, or around a lot, like as you brought up earlier, a lot of negative family talk around people who were rich, the people who ran the company, the people who made three or four times that money, right? And so, you know, people can just kind of check in, because any aha moments that you're getting right now is sort of, you know, that's my goal always, is to bring an aha moment around, like, wow, this is actually wired into me, and I've never seen it before, right? And so the fourth kind is income goals. And what's interesting about income goals is even self-employed people hardly ever set one, even though every success book tells you to, because it will trigger. So if I tell, you know, I've done this with rooms of people, salespeople, like mortgage brokers, right? Everyday people. When I tell them to double their income and say, now this is your new goal, the room rebels on me. Because if I had you write down your income, you would start to really hear, that's impossible. And do you see that that's impossible comes from your paradigm? And the other piece of it is what I ask people is, if you were to earn that much, would you still fit in your family?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people will start to experience that stress response. They'll start to experience something very uncomfortable, right? And I actually will have them visualize and picture, you know, them walking into their parents' house and saying, look at how much money I make. I totally deserve it. And they really feel emotionally the downside of what would happen if they earned that much money. And again, this is why we don't put the energy there. And, you know, and this is, it makes me crazy because it's the majority is people from the middle class. And we are the most, you know, the working class and the middle class is, we are getting, you know, the gap is getting bigger. The wealth gap is getting bigger than it's ever been. And we are the ones who are earning more than our parents, yet live paycheck to paycheck and never create wealth, right? It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy because it doesn't have to be that way. And this programming is getting handed down from generation to generation. The only thing that stops it is awareness and consciousness and having an aha moment that you can change this, right? You can change this. And that's what is exciting, right? Because with a tapping technique, you can do so much more of a transformation than you can just by thinking about things, right? So since we started down this path, the fifth kind, it does not apply to everybody, but if it does apply to you, it's not good. It's called toxic money. And so I'll just quickly say that toxic money, it's kind of like a toxic relationship, okay? And so it happens in these two scenarios. But in each case, when this happens, the person will say, since that day, I've never been able to earn. Even high earners will not be able to earn after this happens. And so the situation can be this. When there is an inheritance or money that you were supposed to get that you have never gotten and are still in battle over, that money that you are needing and wanting but has been wrongfully withheld from you becomes toxic money. And in order for you to continue to convince whoever it is, sometimes it's siblings, right, that or parents that you deserve that money, you can't be flourishing. And so that's when people will stop earning. The other scenario is in any dispute over money where you are owed that money. This often happens in child support or a lawsuit or a, you know, alimony where or a toxic relationship where you are staying in a relationship because they are paying for your life. This happens with people in their 50s whose parents are still bailing them out, okay? Right. And so in order to get that money, you have to stay less powerful than you are. And you have to stay disempowered and more of a victim to prove that you need that money. Or to continue to receive it. You have to stay stuck in a place that is less powerful than you should be, and it is toxic, and it is complicated, and that's where I say if you're saying to yourself, oh, my God, I have that, this is where you might want to work with one of the one of my Tapping Into Wealth coaches because I do train and certify coaches in this process. It's a big one, but when you shift it, it's massive. You know, it's massive. And so, you know, these are the five kinds of money that I learned from working with thousands of people. Like, I didn't just make them up, right? Working with thousands of people, and I put some of the stories in the book, I noticed that they each time, as you said, it has a very different energy. And so we deal with it differently so that, you know, any area of your life, like if debt is the number one thing for you to deal with first, there's going to be a lot of shifting around the shame and the blame and the feeling of failure and any situation where you are still angry at yourself, for example, and then the debt shifts. It's magical.
Right.
And it doesn't disappear overnight, right? But the person changes. Their behaviors change. The level of brilliance and courage and basically the person that they bring to work every day who knocks projects out of the park, you become that person in dealing with your debt. And that's when everything changes. So, yeah, that's the five kinds of money. And again, if I went too fast, there's a full video walking through it more slowly on my on the tappingintowealth.com website.
So Would you like to give some information about anything else, programs or anything else that you have on your website?
Or, the tappinginsowealth.com website is the easiest one because you opt in and you get that video and then you'll get my newsletter. My main website is margaretmlynch.com, my full name, margaretmlynch.com, and there's all sorts of articles there all of the time that you will start getting if you opt in there, and mini video course that I have on clearing money blocks also specifically there. So I like to give. There's a massive amount of content. But secondly, I do also give people a career in being a tapping into wealth coach. It's sort of a business in a box. Where they learn how to do that, they learn how to do the process of the tapping into wealth coaching with the tapping, and go out and change thousands of people's lives, which is really cool. So thank you for letting me share that.
Sure, no problem. Well, what else can you tell people who are stuck, say, not with debt maybe, but just with negative ideas around money, you know, the idea that money corrupts, money attracts negative experiences to you through, you know, con people or people wanting to be in relationship with you, not for you, but for your money. Because I'm sure that that's something that comes up a lot.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's good to sort of talk about, like, that money really, on planet Earth, right, we've decided that money is our exchange medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet we've overlaid a lot of other things on it. And you know, certainly everything that you said is true, right? Every one of those scenarios could absolutely happen, and they happen particularly when people are dealing with money in a very unconscious way. Right?
Right.
And so it is a big energy in our life. We should be incredibly conscious about it and how we deal with it, just like we are about our literally our physical bodies, because it's that big of a piece of our day-to-day life. And so money represents two things. At the very first level on planet Earth, we have decided, right, that money represents survival. Your ability to survive and take care of yourself on this planet is tied to money. And most people live there, right? Middle class and working class, when we don't get past paycheck to paycheck, we live in survival mode, one paycheck away from disaster, or two, right?
Right.
And so your family's paradigm around was scarcity more real in your childhood, anxiety, fear, worry about money, is that more real than all of the positive thinking that you can do right now as an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of us, we never get past feeling safe and secure, like we are okay, that there's a buffer, you know, like when you have 6 months expenses in the bank and all of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so money stays at the survival level. And
right.
It can represent going outside, going further than your family went, whether it's earning more money, which many people will do that and then they'll get rid of it, and having more savings represents you being more safe. That there's a downside, which is it'll get taken away from me, people will trick me, you know, people will hate me, I'll be kicked out of my family. And so all of those things are absolutely real. We know about them because we've seen them happen, and we've seen people go to the other side and turn into jerks with money, go to the shadow, worship money, and allow money to pump up their ego. Can all of that happens when you deal with money unconsciously, right? And so, you know, here again, it's like if you don't want to stay where you are in your money, you can absolutely move forward, and every one of these concerns and fears can be dealt with and shifted in a very real, conscious way. Just like a commitment to being more healthy. It's like, I'm going to have to deal with, you know, if you, obesity is a family paradigm for you, you know, we know, and I'm sure you've had shows about this, right, where if you lose weight, there's going to be some negative pressure from the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same issues arise around money, and we have to deal with them in a very, very conscious way. But The second thing that money represents, when you get past survival, right, which is what we call first chakra, money at the first chakra, mm-hmm. if you know the chakra system, at the second chakra level, and this is, you know, if you know who Carolyn Mace is, she talks about money as a first and second chakra energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the second
right.
level, money represents your worth and your power and how much reward and pleasure, both the pleasure of receiving, the pleasure of being validated, the pleasure of feeling your own power, and the pleasure of joy and lightness and choice, how much of that you're allowed to have in this lifetime, or whether that right. is wrong, whether that is selfish, whether that is, you know, becoming somebody else who's, you know, who's rich and wealthy and doesn't care about the poor or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's survival and then there's reward. And so some people are good at letting themselves be at survival with money, but if they mm-hmm. went beyond that in terms of income or savings or even not having debt, they wouldn't fit in their family anymore because no one in their family has ever had that much reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really great to think about your parents. How hard did they work for their money? Did they mm-hmm. ever get to the point of feeling rewarded and safe and taking fun vacations? Did they ever get to live some of the things that you muse about or dream about? Because if they didn't, it will feel mm-hmm. inside your system incredibly disloyal for you to let yourself have those things. And mm-hmm. so to really sit with these things and clear them one at a time is really life-changing in your money. Because, you know, you're right, a myriad of fears come up, a myriad of words, you know, that rich make their money off the sweat of the poor, you know, the rich don't mm-hmm. care about people. It's good to be rich, there's philanthropists, but it's bad to be rich. Like, we get so many mixed messages. And as you brought up, I mean, I was raised Catholic, right? A lot mm-hmm. of religious messages as well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of religious messages as well about whether or not you can get into heaven if you're wealthy. So,
right.
It, you know, again, you don't have to work on money stuff if it's not your issue. But if you feel like it, that you're listening and you're like, I'm really sick of being my money situation being the same,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, take that time and energy to say, I'm going to put some focus on shifting this. And it's going to be a little bit of a journey, right? You know, you and I can't tell listeners that this is a one-time fix, right? There's a little bit of a journey because money is so woven into our hopes and our fears and the fabric of our life. But to me, that's why we should work on it. You know, that's why we should look at it.
And you know, and money is not the only thing that EFT is good for. I mean, it's really good for anything. If you have fears around relationships, fears around your health, chronic pain, you know, I encourage listeners to, you know, take a look on the internet for the other emotional freedom technique methods. Money.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, there's so much video out there. You know,
yeah,
I say to people, it's the biggest thing you've never heard of because my YouTube videos alone have been watched 2.5 million times. And I'm just one person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely, I have, you know, when what my practitioners find is that they start doing a tapping into wealth session with a client, maybe mm-hmm. around debt, and the next thing you know, they are in a massive healing session around a betrayal or a mistake mm-hmm. that someone has never, ever mm-hmm. forgiven yourself for. And that sits in your body, right? That sits in your body.
It could lead to low back pain. Carolyn May said, we wear our wallet in our lower back. And it's
absolutely.
So funny because... I was in surgery twice that I remember with my tech who had an acute onset of lower back pain. And I looked at him and I said, well, what financial problem are you having? And, you know, one of them, her boyfriend had spent, you know, run up her credit card bills and then left. And she was going home every night to collection calls and, you know, didn't know what to do. You know, she was just, and so she developed new onset lower back pain.
Yeah.
Having really nothing to do with the lower back, but, you know, it her financial issues are physically located in her lower back. So when they're out of whack, her lower back goes out.
100%.
And when you're a surgical tech, you can't afford to have lower back pain, or you won't have a job very long, as you know.
Right.
It's pretty strenuous work. You're retracting for hours, you know. I mean, you can't do that with lower back pain. So anyway, it's just awareness of where we put different problems in our body. Financial problems do become physical.
Yeah.
Because they're not being handled. The emotions aren't being handled, and that's where the emotions are going.
Yeah, and if your money, you know, money issues, you know, as we're saying, they trigger some of the darkest, most painful emotions. And yet we gloss over it. You know, we lay in bed at night, we wake up in the middle of the night, we're saying things to ourselves. You know, when I do this with groups, the things that particularly, you know, this is where men are even worse than women, because when they are squeezed, so if there's men listening, you know, I got my eye on you. Because when they have debt or low savings or they're not earning enough, the pressure that they put on themselves because of the archetype of father and being a provider is a hundredfold what women do. And the things that they say to themselves about when they look at their money, even 1,000 times a day, you know, and it's so dark and it's so hurtful. And they say it to themselves, and they feel 100%, Margaret, I deserve to hear myself say this every day, because look at my money. And it keeps them stuck, you know, and I want to honor the guys out there, because I talk a lot about, you know, women not charging their worth. And this is an issue for men and women, and particularly for men who are taking care of their family. They really will put, I mean, talk about, you know, as you said, lower back pain. In the financial traumas, you know, your tech that you mentioned, that is a financial trauma, as I call it. It's not a beaten trauma, or she didn't have a car accident trauma, but she had a financial trauma. She was betrayed around her finances, and that is continue. And so to me, if you can look back right now and point to an event that affected your finances and you can still see the impact today, and when you think about that event, you still feel anger either at yourself and another person, or that you made a mistake, or that you feel sadness, you feel loss, it is literally still up for you. There's some serious healing to do around that, and it's like miraculous who you will be on the other side of using a technique like this to clear that old event, right?
And I wanted to tell the audience, you know, I come from a family that really has very little money issues. Many of my sibs and even nephews and nieces are multimillionaires before they're even 30, okay? So our family really does well with money. But I will tell you something. Reading this book, I had energies come up in me that I did not know I still had. Mostly around trauma, where people were either falsely accusing me, and then that led to loss of money, or, you know, purely conning me, and that led to loss of money. Of course, I recovered. I'm a plastic surgeon. Obviously, I make a lot of money. But even if you don't think you have any issues around money, which I would say I have very little issues around money in terms of not thinking I'm worthy, or, you know, the common ones we've talked about.
Yeah.
When you read this book, the betrayals, the, you know, the other things that have happened in your life that you might have recovered from, but the energy is still there. So I was tapping away when these feelings came up.
Yeah, and it's you know, the book to me is, I often laugh and say I'm tricking people into in transformational work by telling them it's, you know, that by bringing them in by money, right? Because, you know, and that's a great point. You know, if you were raised wealthy, you won't have the piece of it that's scarcity and fear and anxiety.
Yeah,
and
but you still attract people.
But when you have
money, you attract people that would want to take it away from you. And I would say that probably very few people who, you know, are relatively well off or wealthy. I wouldn't call myself wealthy, but, you know, I never needed for money. Okay. And you know, basically almost everybody who is perceived as being wealthy attracts a certain kind of negative person to them at one point in their life.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that, you know, you need to release if you have emotions around that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's like you'll have different issues. One of the things I've seen with people who were raised wealthy is, you know, they didn't have the sort of the survival fear, but what they did have was more more control issues around who you will be. In dictated by maybe a powerful parent, and there was the consequence of losing, you know, that the money will be taken away from you if you don't become who we are. And depending on the age group, mm-hmm. for a lot of women that meant, you know, you need to marry well. You know, if you want to have the financial security, you know, you don't need to go to college. You can go to college, but you shouldn't work. And so there's a whole different set, you know, and I think that, you know, for me, the book changes in the middle. The first mm-hmm. half of the book is about your programming from your paradigm. The second half of the book is where it really kicks in for people universally, because now we step mm-hmm. into what happens when you start setting bigger goals in your life and you start stepping up and out. Now, for mm-hmm. the purposes of the book, it's like, wow, when you set bigger goals for money, it's not just going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to go on a journey, right? You're going to have to get clear mm-hmm. in what you want to do. A lot of people who are self-employed, you know, love this book for that. But now, like if you were to say, you know, I want to go from radio to being the next, you know, Dr. Oz on TV, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So you set a really big goal. Now what's going to come up? And so a different set. You know, that's where we start to have the chapters around mm-hmm. being invisible, right? And so there's a fear that says, if I really got seen at that level, the next level, and I really stepped up, then who would come out of the woodwork, right?
Right.
Then
yeah.
who might attack me? Then who might betray me?
Yeah. Right.
There's a chapter on always striving and never arriving. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, mm-hmm. how much do we strive and strive and strive and strive and strive? And then we make the goal, and we don't feel mm-hmm. anything. We don't allow ourselves to actually arrive and feel validated and seen, and we keep in this pattern of, I don't know if I'm good enough yet. And so there's the second half of the book for me is where it really it locks in for anybody who wants to take bigger steps up, regardless of where you start, because it's not about where you are now. It's about the step that you're stepping into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to have to clear when you go start taking those bigger steps, right? It's like, you know, I did a lot of tapping on getting up and doing a lot of speaking, right? But then when mm-hmm. I got an opportunity to do 800 people at T. Harv Eker event, yes, I had to tap again. It was like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. what if I get criticized? What if people don't like me? All mm-hmm. that fear came up because I was stepping to a new level. Then when I went to do my first 3-day live event where I'm on stage for 3 solid days with 250 people who are just there to see me, you think I didn't have a lot of fears and things come up and worry?
Yeah.
And so the second half of the book is really about this is me stepping into a fuller version of me mm-hmm. and stepping into my life purpose in a bigger way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for some people, it's like, I've built this career, and now I want to leave a legacy, right? Like, what is mm-hmm. the impact I want to make on my industry? And what would mm-hmm. it be like if I start standing up in my own industry, right? Or I want to go to the next level of being a rock star at what I do. And so that's what's, you know, to me, it's very congruent to who I am because there's nothing in that book that has not been tapped through Margaret many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You learn a lot about me if you read between the lines.
Right.
My fears.
And I want to point out to people that, and this is just from my own personal experience, but I'm sure that others have had the same. The things that are the most threatening to you in life, you probably never even thought of. So, you know, it's not, at least in my experience, the things that really threaten me, I never even conceived of. I never even thought they would ever happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, your fears can be released. because at least in my world, they're not important. They're not what you're going to, those aren't the challenges you're going to come across. They're there. They cause anxiety. I mean, they come up as energies, as anxieties, as you know, discomforts. Like you say, when you think about a certain situation, a betrayal, for example, you still feel that in your stomach or feel that somewhere. And so, you know, you still have to release the energy. But most of the things, at least in my life, that have been major challenges, I would have never thought I would have to face them, ever.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is the things that you really do have to do in life, you may not have even considered. And so, you know, you might as well release all these other things, because they're really not the things that are necessarily that you're going to meet on your path.
Yeah, especially when you're taking big steps, right? Like,
yeah,
you've built an incredible career, right? And so when we take steps up, new stuff arises. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to deal with a fear. I'm one of eight, you know? I have seven brothers and sisters. We're really close. It never occurred to me that I was going to feel incredibly vulnerable when I started doing one-year programs with groups of people who I now get to know and become incredibly close to, because mm-hmm. I'm mentoring them for an entire year. I did mm-hmm. not see that level of vulnerability and heart opening coming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to fall in love with 40 people every year and be like, oh my God. And so mm-hmm. I thought I was just going to be the smart little teacher. And I didn't see that coming, you know. And then if one of them breaks your heart, and you've given and given, and then something goes off in the relationship, or there's a miscommunication, it hurts, right? It's like, wow, I really care about these people. And I did not, like you said, I didn't know that was going to be something that I would have to really work through.
Exactly.
You know,
so,
really work
you know,
through.
Your lessons come forth from, I think, from a higher level. I think that we sign up for these lessons. A lot of them are contractual.
Yeah.
And, you know, the normal fears, you know, the fear, like for me, the fear of going bankrupt or something, that was never even close, okay? That was never even anywhere near the picture. I had it and I released it during my spiritual development, but the things that actually came up were so, I wouldn't have ever even imagined them.
Yeah.
They're so far outside of what normal reality is that I don't even, you know, I mean, most people, when I tell them about them, they can't believe it occurred. You know, not in America, you know, not here.
Wow.
But in any case, things do come up that we have to get through. And the tapping techniques are a great way to do it. I mean, they're, no matter what it is, I mean, what I'm talking about had to do with physical survival, okay? Not financial or health, but, you know, actually physical survival, which I never knew. But then, you know, it had to do with me writing a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. You know, sometimes certain corporations don't like you writing that book.
Right.
So, you can read into that what you want, but, you know, who knew that was going to happen? That was incredible. Incredibly.
And I think you're right.
I would have never thought, you know.
When you take a stand, you become vulnerable.
You become a target in more ways than one.
And that's
right.
You know, and not everybody on the planet has that wiring to be that kind of a leader, to have a mission that calls them. You know, some people really love to be part of a mission, part of someone else's
mm-hmm.
mission, right? Some people
right.
are incredible one-to-one healers. But for people that like to do big things and even say to themselves, I think I meant to do something bigger,
mm-hmm.
part of the fear, I think, when they get started, I think you're saying it exactly, is there can be, you know, not to get too woo-woo, but there can be a past life recurrence in many lifetimes of
mm-hmm.
being the person that stands up, and then there is some kind of a backlash, you know?
And is burned at the stake.
Yeah, I mean, some people are like, I think I was burned at the stake.
That's
and it's like, well, you've
right.
been on a lot of
yeah.
missions.
Well, and the other thing too is that I've been doing Temple of Health radio show for 18 years now, and I have interviewed multiple numbers of whistleblowers, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
GMO, chemtrails, nanotech, you name it. And I can't tell you the number of these whistleblowers who have had the same kind of attack that I have.
Yeah. Yeah, so at some point,
and when you talk about the only place these attacks are talked about are on something like Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory. I mean, you don't find that people know about these things. But yet, I have all these whistleblowers who have had the same experience that I have. So isn't that interesting?
It is. It's
very interesting.
It's unreal. And you're
I wouldn't know that if I didn't interview them.
Right.
And read your books. You know, some of them, like Stephen Greer, talks about in his book. Do you know who Stephen Greer is? He's a ER doctor that is in charge of the Disclosure Project. And Disclosure, of course, is one of those politically incorrect subjects.
Right.
And, yeah, he talks about these attacks in his books very specifically. So, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, like what I'm saying is that some of the greatest threats that I've personally had, I would have never thought, never, that they would have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have laughed at you if you would have told me.
Right.
It wasn't ever a fear. It wasn't even a consideration. But yet it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there dumbfounded, you know, like, what? But, you know, I'm not alone. There's lots of other people who went through the same experience.
And it almost becomes the second part of your mission is, how do I handle this? How do I deal with it? How do I come out strong?
I talk about it on my radio show.
Yeah. It's true. It's like, and it becomes part of who you are and part of your mission.
Yeah.
And you have to also have the strength and the courage when you do big things to deal with that, you know? And it's an incredible, you know, it's why I was so honored to be on today, that, you know, you've done some incredible things and you've had such a long career. And it's just so refreshing that you're talking about your own process and your own things that you challenge yourself in this book. And I think it's really powerful when powerful people who've done a lot can speak very vulnerably about where they struggled and it helps people who are, you know, who want to see someone who's more real and more authentic, you know, and that's something I appreciate about you.
Well, thanks, Margaret. We're coming up on the end of the hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. The name of the book is the website tappingintowealth.com, and there you can get the full video on the five kinds of money, and then you'll actually be on my newsletter, so you'll have access to all my great content. We sent out a ton of amazing tapping content every week, and we do lots of great fun things, so you'll enjoy it. Check it out at tappingintowealth.com, and you can also buy the book anywhere from there, linking it to Amazon, or the bookstores have it too.
Well, Margaret, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a delightful hour, and I encourage everybody to read Tapping Into Wealth, watch the videos, and let us know what you're doing in the future. We'll have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're interviewing Paya Orlean on Remembering Who We Are, A Guidance on Healing the Human Condition. And the next week, Colleen Morrow, Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.